Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's good to have all y'all with us tonight for another in the series of Establishing Your Faith right here with the beautiful people of the Community of Faith. It's good to have all y'all with us tonight with the greatest instructor, the author, and finisher of our faith, teaching from the greatest textbook of faith there is, God's Holy Word. And, I think you can call this the year of faith because God's doing a mighty, mighty, mighty big thing. I got to show y'all something. I've been sitting here at the desk all day working, and about an hour ago, I started smelling something. I'm like, man, there's some hot wires here somewhere. You know how hot wires gets that sweet hot wire smell, you know? I'm like, what is it? So got up, and it's a nice warm day today. Went and made sure all the thermostats were turned down, and I'm looking around, and I checked all my electrical devices, and I'm like, man, I can still smell something hot. I wonder what in the world is it? Left the room so that I could get a different fragrance in my nose and come back in. And when I came back in, guess what I noticed?
A fire.
My beautiful plant is flowering.
Were you smelling that?
That is fragrance.
Well, praise the Lord. It smells like hot wires burning.
when I finally turned around, I'm like, all right, it's behind me, behind this stand right here. And then I saw that flower. That's the first time I ever seen a flower. And actually, the fragrance is just like honeysuckle. It's actually a pretty beautiful fragrance. And so it ain't hot wires at all. It's honeysuckle. And I like that. It's not a honeysuckle tree, so I'm not sure what you call it, but it's a beautiful fragrance of heaven. And thank God for the beautiful fragrance. I've never seen it flower before. And there it is. But that's kind of how my day is going all day long. So thank you, Father, for that.
Battery 50%.
Come on. Shut off. There you go. So welcome, everybody. It's good to have you with us tonight. And tonight's going to be a good night. One with the Father, the greatest life one can ever live. Let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. Brother Dan, good to have you with us. You got a word for us tonight? About time he gets it muted, I ask him that question.
Well, just come to me again that in our fasting, you think of the righteousness of Christ and the gift that it is. And you talk about fasting, and so what it really gets rid of is doubt and unbelief. So I really think it's possible to be more if we fast. A lot of times it's hard to know what to fast for, but for the righteousness of God, that it changes some of our doubt and unbelief, and we can walk more in the fullness of God. That's what came to me.
Come on, that's awesome.
That makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. I don't think he was talking it for me, though. I think he was talking it for somebody else.
By myself. Say that again.
I always fast for miracles.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like that, though, because how many times, like you just said, Dan, are we standing there saying, I wonder just exactly what I should pray for or fast for? And yet, the greatest thing you could ever fast for, I agree, brother, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because righteousness is the answer to absolutely everything in our life. It does not matter what you're dealing with in your life. Righteousness is going to be the answer for it, because if we are standing in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we understand what it is that we're doing, there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing that can stop us. And I honestly think that some people, the biggest reason they have so many battles in their life that they can never seem to get over is they don't realize that Jesus made them righteous. And when you say it, they just look at you like, well, yeah, right. I know, Pastor. I know that's right. But it ain't you. And it is literally the greatest force of your life that gives you victory is Jesus and his righteousness. And because when the enemy comes at you with a temptation, you throw at him Jesus' righteousness. What's he going to do? Jesus' righteousness is perfect. He can't overcome that. Hey, if you don't mind me saying it, there ain't no way that any righteousness, anything can overcome Jesus' righteousness. There just ain't no way. And so thank God. That's good, Brother Dan. You want to preach on it some more? I'll be quiet.
No, I'm gonna listen. I like to receive.
Yeah, amen, brother. Amen. I do too. I'm an excellent receiver. Amen. I love it. Wow. You know. But see, that's really good. That's a good word from God. And I really was really working to be started long before this. But anyways. Ain't going to make those other statements. If you don't know what to fast for, the greatest thing you got to do, anybody, is get rid of unbelief inside of you. Because Jesus told the disciples, he said, why couldn't we cast the demon out? He said, because of your unbelief. He didn't say because of your lack of faith. He said because of your unbelief. This kind of unbelief only comes out through prayer and fasting. And so if you don't understand the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which is the very bottom line core part of anybody's spiritual life, if you don't have that down yet in revelation form, then I think that's great, great wisdom to say, study the righteous or to fast to understand the righteousness of God. Come on, man. How many times have you told me this before we actually talked about it? Has everybody sent all their shares they need to send?
No, I wait until after it's over, and then I'll send it to everybody at my leisure.
I got just a couple more to do. Those of you on YouTube, welcome. It's good to have you with us. It truly is good to have you with us tonight. And, click like, subscribe, hit the bell. Make sure you're with us. It's going to be a great year, all year long. All year long. And we're going to continually see ourselves in a greater position, greater understanding than we ever have before. Because we just keep walking with God and drawing closer and closer and closer and closer to Him in everything that we do. Our title tonight for our program is One with the Father, the greatest life one can ever live. Let no one deceive you. To be one with the Father is the greatest life that you could ever live. And don't let anybody deceive you. You know, for everybody that's joined us on you, there you go, Sister Sunday, Brother John Wainer, good evening. Good to have you guys with us tonight. Brother Roger, Sister Phyllis, Rebecca, Dan's with us. So the saints are marching in. We haven't sang it in a long time. You ready? Everybody sing it. Oh, when the saints come marching in. I got to get this up out of the basement. Oh, when the saints come marching in, when the saints come marching in, yeah, I know I'll be in that number. When the saints come marching in. You know, I was like, everybody sing it with us. And you guys left me hanging out there all by myself.
Sorry if I laugh.
You'll be all right.
I'd probably stay down on the roadside.
Amen, 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 amen. Well, thank you, Jesus, for wonderful, wonderful work that you've done on the inside of us. And if you guys just keep taking them deep breaths, you're going to smell that honeysuckle because it is really good. It is amazing. And it's, you know, it's one of those trees.
It's one of those trees.
It's a tree. It's one of them round, big tree things.
I didn't know it was a tree.
I don't think it is. I think it just smells like honeysuckle. And Sister Leanne will show up and tell us all the truth about it here in a little bit. So it'll be all right. Well, let's start with prayer, and then we'll get ourselves going here just like we always do. We've not made our prayer confession very much lately. And the more we hear Brother Dutch this year, no, let's say that differently. The more we hear the Holy Spirit speak through Brother Dutch, the more we understand the importance of making these prayer, faith, confessions continually. So let's do this. We are the community of faith, an international family of mountain moving believers, a growing community of faith. We've gathered together to study and believe the word for what it actually says, to be free of religiosity and live by faith. We've established a power grid of prayer for the United States of America and the body of Christ. Our theme verses are, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So if that's the victory that overcomes the world, then God, help us get the understanding of faith. Our other main verse is Hebrews 11:6. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, the day will come when we'll have this on a bunch of other slides, but right now we'll just use this one. This is something that Sister Leanne and I spent one day doing as we were praying and talking to God. Our first mission statement, that was seven different points. Effectively meeting people's needs and propelling them to their eternal destiny. Learning to walk in the righteousness of God, producing the joy of being one with the Father. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and you too, bringing the greatest breakthrough in life to everyone who meets us. Demonstrate all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Help every believer move from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and grace to grace. Help every believer find their place and function in their place. And last statement that I like to make is reaching the lost and teaching the found the righteousness of faith. Reaching the lost and teaching the found the righteousness of faith. If you will, rise together with me, and we'll begin tonight with the Pledge of Allegiance like we do, in honor of everyone who's ever given their life in any way for this great United States of America. Here we go. Render your honor, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, if you will, join with me in a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, those who at one point in their lifetime, because of combat, now bear the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and their body. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join me, and we're going to quote tonight, God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. In Jesus' name we pray. And now our opening prayer. Hold on. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, this says, we have the keys of the kingdom, and I have paraphrased these words from the New King James, so they'll match you and me. Jesus, we proclaim, you are the Christ. Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. As Jesus instructs us, we agree together for the victory. Matthew 18:18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. Now, why are we saying this, Pastor? We are proclaiming this into the realm of the Spirit around the world. Anywhere where our voice is going on the 53 nations and Blog Talk Radio, anywhere our voice is going anything on blog, on Facebook or YouTube around the world, we are declaring this over the body of Christ. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. Regardless of how many denominations are in this world, there's only one body of Christ. No matter how much a denomination may talk about any part of God, there's only one Spirit. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. And there's only one baptism. There's only one God and Father of us all. And what's awesome about God is it doesn't matter who you are included in him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. And when that happens, we receive this result in our life, so that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Speak it boldly. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. And now our intercession for America. Now, I know some people are like, well, Pastor, we're not all praying together and it's not real loud. No, no. The most powerful intercession is when we're confident in who we are and we make bold proclamations as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we're doing. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every child that's been aborted cries out today, Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert our justice system and destroy our children. We ask you for your mercy. We repent of these sins of this nation. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. Now, I like to include the preamble to the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, because there's a lot of people that don't know what it says. And it takes us about 45 seconds to say this. And it reminds every one of us of what this great nation that we live in is all about. Speak this boldly with me. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. As we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now the Patriot Prayer of Dedication, adapted from the Gettysburg Address. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, as ambassadors representing the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to our God, declare this with me. In the name high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion, in the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind all of the effects of the isms, atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all other isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. Righteousness exalts this nation. God said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. To all the isms, you have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you. Not our Bibles, not our Constitution, and not our rifles. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the Spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for freedom, liberty, and the United States of America to fall into, you fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 144:14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, you might not be used to that sort of a time of intercessory prayer, but you and I don't have the ability to all gather together in one building here around the world like we are. And so as God has instructed us here to create that type of a confession, we call it a prayer confession, but it's also a prayer of intercession. And what it is a declaration as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. It's a declaration as kings and priests to God. It's a declaration that we are proclaiming into the realm of the Spirit, connecting with all the international network of prayer and faith around the world. And in so doing, we are joining our faith with all of their faith. Now, this might be new to you. It might be new. You may never even heard of this process before. I would encourage you to study it. Now, Brother Dutch Sheets, by the Spirit of God, is going to begin to teach on it in the morning sessions. And he's giving 15 program. So I would encourage you to get connected with us and get connected with Giving 15. Click like, hit subscribe, and hit that notification bell with him so that whether or not you can be with us, you always get the notification of that and can have it in your computer because or in your YouTube because you want to be able to understand the power of making a faith confession. And Jesus is the high priest of our profession. But if we don't ever make one that's positive, that's spiritual, that's faith-filled, Jesus cannot make it come to pass. It don't matter how much you cry. It don't matter how much you complain. It doesn't matter. Jesus and God from faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes this world. And so we're going to be studying that in the morning, so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Brother John, I sent you the reference to that in your text this morning when you asked for that. So you actually have a text on your phone with that address in it. I believe if you find that, just type it in there, and that'll be a blessing to us. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro across this earth, seeking whom he may show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are right toward him. Now, I want to give you a few more announcements, I suppose you would say. Heads up. And Brother John, if you will, go to your text and see if you can find that. And then bring that reference and stick it in there in the comments. That way we can hear everybody. Now, beginning of the year, we always fast here at the Community of Faith. The other day, Thursday night, we taught a message on fasting. And the name of that message was Deal with a Fasting Style. The purpose of fasting is to get rid of unbelief. And so I would encourage you to search within your heart and realize, yes, fasting is for you. It's an important process for you to take part in. Well, you know, at the beginning of tonight, Brother Dan shared with us, if you don't know what else to fast for, and probably if you are in any way uncertain about the righteousness of faith, probably one of the things you should fast for is righteousness. Never heard anybody talk about fasting for that, Pastor. I'm fasting for signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, let's deal with this very quickly. Remember, fasting is not a starvation fast. It's not how much food you can give up so you can make God answer you. Fasting is not about being hungry. Fasting is about one thing. And that is putting your flesh down so that the parts of your life that are run by the flesh will now make them submit to the Spirit of the living God. Now, so We always create a fast at the beginning of the year. And I like to call it the introduction to fasting or the beginner's fast. Because I would encourage you to get to a point in your life where you can, where you get determined to say, you know what, I'm going to fast a meal a day for a week. And then I'm going to fast two meals a day for a week. Why? Because number one, it's going to help your body and turn into, have a greater strength than anything you've ever imagined, because you're going to get rid of all the garbage that's being, that's laying around in your body. It is amazing what goes on. Now, I say this because last year at this time, my wife Leanne and I went on a 40-day fast of just water. And actually, it wasn't just water. We did a 40-day fast, but it was the Master's Cleanse where we had that lemon drink or whatever it is. But I did not. I'm a very healthy person. I did not know how much in my own body there's just stuff laying there. And after having fasted for a while last year and studying and just walking with God and entering in closer to him, we found a doctor, a cardiologist, who actually uses fasting as a healthy living process. And he began to explain it to us. Man, as soon as he started speaking, it was like, wow, this man really makes, I'm understanding exactly what I'm feeling in my body. And your body begins to feel so much stronger. Now, I understand many of you are on medications and things, and you say, I can't fast. Well, I challenge you to do this. Get yourself where you can give up one meal a day and do it on purpose. Honestly, just give it up and get yourself to that point and get yourself focused. Number one, for the health of your body. But number two, to get control of this flesh so that your body is obeying you, the spirit, because it's important. Now, the Dan statement was that we should be fasting. If you don't know what else to fast for righteousness, to get the understanding of righteousness. And then I would encourage you to dig up the verses on righteousness out of the New Testament from Jesus and from the different writers in the epistles, and begin to come to an understanding of what the Bible calls righteousness of faith. And it's one of the greatest things that it's a word from God. Brother Dan had a word of knowledge that just said, this is a very important force that many should be fasting for. And actually, I don't know, I mean, Dan's my cousin, but I don't know where he was. I don't know why he didn't say this to me 20 years ago. It's okay. That's a joke if you didn't catch it. You don't understand the righteousness of faith. You're missing a very important part of your Christian life. And you find that in Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 17. Philippians 3, 3 through 17. And we've got a great group of teachings on the righteousness of faith and on righteousness itself. And so if you like, Pastor, I'm going to do this. I think that's what I need to do. Yeah, it is. If you're battling with any sin of the flesh in any form, any habit, anything, do this and get serious with it. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah. Dan, you know.
Come back, brother. Come back. You're out there in Martian land.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me better?
Yeah.
No?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, I wasn't, what was shared with me was not only just the understanding, but just like when we're saved, it's a gift we have. And the passage of scripture, and I hope I get it exactly right, but I might not. But it says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me.
Yes.
And through that, looking for the gift, because righteousness isn't in our own works, but to take get rid of some of the doubt and unbelief we have in whatever it is, wherever it is in our life and what we're doing. Yeah, I know we would all like to, says if you believe, you know, you'll lay your hands on the sick and heal them and raise the dead and we'll be showing glory and be really happy. But to get to that point and just have that alone time for this all relationship with God in prayer and actually seek his will on how to be there, that was kind of along the line that God was sharing with me on anyway. And that's all that. Pointing the finger at nobody, that's all for Dan, but I'm just sharing it, it might help somebody else, but anyway.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, and thank you. Honestly, and I think, I like your statement there, Dan, because this is never, nothing we do is pointing a finger at anybody, honestly. This body of believers got passed out a long time ago because we realize there's only one person that any of us will ever give an account for when we stand before God. Now, as your pastor, I'm going to have to give an account for how I led you, and you'll give an account for how you listened to the word we preached and followed it. But the bottom line is all of us are going to stand before God all by ourselves. Or stand in front of Jesus, because we'll miss the great white throne judgment. That's for the sinners. But you're going to stand there all by yourself. So nobody will be standing with you. As much as I love Leanne and she loves me, I'll be judged for how I was a husband. But I'm going to stand by myself. And she's going to stand by herself in front of Jesus. And I to some people, that's a new revelation, just like Dan's saying. I mean, all of us would like to be able to lay our hands on somebody and see them transformed like that. And it's there. People in our day do it every day. And yet, what is it? When you fast, God will reveal it to you. And the thing that will happen is you'll learn to hear his voice like you've never heard it before. And that's good. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. See, your mic's still on, but it must be. There you go. All right. Just making sure. So anyways, that's fasting. If you got more questions, then, you know, shoot me a text, send me an email, say, hey, Pastor, explain that to me again, because I want to be a part of this. Now, some of you have been challenged by God to do a longer fast, and you have not done a long fast. And I want to encourage you, if you're going to give it up for God, he's going to take care of you. Even if he challenges you to a one-day, no food, water-only fast, he's going to take care of you. He's not going to let you fall or die or any rest of it. Moses and Jake and Joshua were on the mountain for 70 days. Now, it doesn't say they fasted all 70 days, but they were on the mountain for 70 days all by themselves with God. And Elijah fasted for 40 days. Moses did, Jesus did, and Cicely Ann and I did. Why are you saying it? There's no glory in it. To encourage you that people do this every single day around the world, and many do it, not even for a spiritual reason. They do it to get control of their body. I remember Dr. Barclay telling about trying to beat cigarettes. And Sister Pentecost in the church said, what are you doing? I'm fasting. Well, what are you fasting? Well, hamburgers or pizza or whatever. And she's like, you trying to get rid of that? Why don't you fast cigarettes?
Good one.
There's a revelation right there. And maybe your thing is cursing, and you have a hard time to stop cursing. Well, fast it. Even if you have to just be silent. Why? Because God lives within you. He's not going to let you die. He's not going to let you die. No matter what people say, he's not going to do it. If you take a step for him, he's going to be right there alongside of you, taking a step with you and helping you overcome. Enough about fasting. Let's move on to the book of Revelation. Somewhere, it's depending on how long it takes me, somewhere between the 16th and the 28th in there, we're going to be doing the book of Revelation here with Dr. Hilton Sutton. I had a lot going today and did not get the phone call made, but we'll get that information to you soon because I want you to be able to have a curriculum if it's at all available. As it looks right now, it's not available, but I had a few more people I can call and say, hey, what do you think? You got something. And, that'll be a blessing to you. Most of all, we're going to do the book of Revelation again because I want us to get that thorough, open, wide open understanding of the book of Revelation that you don't need to be afraid. You don't need fear of the end times. You just have to be ready. If you're ready, the end times is going to work out just perfect. If you're not ready, the end times are going to work out just perfect, just like God. You're just going to miss out on it and be on this earth in the middle of the greatest wrath of God that the earth has ever seen. So you don't want to miss the rapture. But you don't have to be afraid of the Antichrist and the false prophet and the rest of it, because as long as you and I, the righteous church, are on this earth, we are the body of Christ, and the enemy cannot overcome what Jesus did. He's been given the principality. He's been given the name above every name. And we're his body, and we function in that same process. And so that's going to be somewhere in the next couple of weeks. We'll probably do The Bait of Satan and Driven by Eternity also. I like all three of these series because of the power of what they do for all of us. And so we encourage you to connect up with us on that. Learn how to use our Zoom. At this point, I cannot share the book of Revelation publicly on YouTube. They don't give you the rights for it. So I will have to have it in our private Zoom room. But you're welcome. Everybody within the sound of my voice is welcome to come and be a part of it. And you might say, well, Pastor, you can't have that many of us in there. Well, let's just try it out and see. Because we want you to be able to have this understanding. It's a great teaching. And he goes through the book of Revelation from chapter 1 through chapter 22. And he not only teaches you the book of Revelation, he teaches you prophetic verses from the whole word of God. And because that's all he gave him, that's all God had him study his whole life in ministry. Wow, this is taking me a while. But it's all right. We welcome you and we want you to be a part of this with us in Jesus' mighty name. Now, when it comes to read the word this year, I don't believe that I'm going to be redoing the Read the Word program. However, I've really been praying about it, and I enjoyed it so much last year that I'm like, I really want to do it again. It's just that's a serious, serious commitment to make happen every day. And so, but I'm going to begin to share the Read the Word from last year, and I'll just share it every day here where everybody can have access to it and make it available to you so that you can go right to the YouTube playlist for Read the Word and be able to get connected to it and have it every day for your devotions and read through the Word of God with me again in 2023. Our theme for this year is 2023. It's time to reap for me. Comes from the book of John, chapter 4. The fields, don't say that the fields, there's 4 months yet, and then comes the harvest. The fields are white unto harvest. Even now, they're white unto harvest. Then Jesus said, he who reaps receives wages, and gathers fruit for eternal life. And that is our theme throughout this year. This is also the year of Jehovah Jireh and the year of discipleship from the different prophetic voices of our life. And so prepare this year to be discipled, to be provided for, and to reap many people for the kingdom of Almighty God in Jesus' mighty name. Now that was a mess of announcements, but we made it. So tonight's message, one with the Father, the greatest life that one can live, being one with the Father. Let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. Now, in this program tonight, we're going to confront some philosophies of religion and the spirit of religion. And so we're also going to nail down some more verses of scripture about being one with the Father. And I know, I truly know that you're going to enjoy tonight like you enjoy every other night you come here and are with us in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody give me just a minute. I just pulled the corner, this page in my Bible. Don't do that. Turn to, open up with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
Hallelujah.
I love the word.
I love the word of God.
I love the majestic word.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, here we go. I want you to hold your Bible up. We're going to make our confession tonight like we do all the every time we come here. If you're wondering what Bible I read, it's called the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It's the New King James Version. It's one of the greatest study Bibles that you can get your hands on. Encourage you to do it. Get the large print. Here's why. The large print is pretty good size print and gives you lots of room on the outer edges to write things. Maybe you don't write in your Bible, but to me, this is my roadmap to heaven. And no different would I write on a paper map and say, I got to do this and stop there, and this is beautiful. This is my Bible. Ready? Say it with me. This is my Bible. All my Zoomers, can you help me?
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I go do what he tells me to do.
I go do what he tells me to do.
Tonight I will be taught the word of God.
Tonight I will be taught the word of God.
And it goes down into the soil of my life. Producing a hundredfold return and more. In my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Here we go. Our first set of verses we're going to deal with is 1 Timothy chapter 4. And the reference point is verses 1 through 5. And yet I'm going to stick with verses 1 and 2 because this is where we're going. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly says. Now I want you to see that S is capitalized. The Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's an alarming verse. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. I'm going to read it again. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, there's only one. The Holy Spirit expressly says, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, that's an interesting statement. Most of us can picture in our mind searing something with a hot iron. You understand what that's all about. And the Holy Spirit, speaking through Paul, said, searing your conscience, that part of you that tells you right and wrong, searing it with a hot iron of deception. And the sad thing is, many times it comes from the pulpit right here in the church. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to go through a lot of verses like we do every time we come here, because the word of God is what is able to make you stand. The word of Sam is not going to do you any good, because on that day over there, you're going to have to stand on this word and be judged by this word, no matter what I say. So I have to make sure my words are what these words in this book says. And that means we're going to show it to you from Genesis to Revelation and all points in between, because I'm not going to be one of those people who just gives you what Dr. Reverend so-and-so said 150 years ago and say, there, that's enough for you. No, we got to speak the word that's going to work for you today, and it's going to fill you with life today, and it's going to help you live in these end times. Colossians chapter 2. Let me get my notes open here. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to go down here to verse number 4 through 10. Colossians 2, 4 through 10. I love the word. Anybody want to shout it with me? I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the word. If we were in a church building, I would want you to shout, I love the word, every single time we speak a new reference. Why? Because the greatest thing you're ever going to get is a love for the holy word of God. Doesn't matter about anything else. Because when you love this word is designed to affect every single part of your life. It doesn't matter what anybody's ever said. This book is designed by God to absolutely strengthen every part of your life. Verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. How are those people going to be led astray by a deceiving spirit, except that someone is saying a persuasive word? Watch. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So Paul's saying order is of the absolute importance in your life. If you have a bunch of your life that is out of order, I encourage you to get it in order. You might say, Pastor, I got so much that's out of order, I don't even know where to start. I'll tell you like the great Navy SEAL commander did. Make your bed. Start with making your bed every day. Because if you crawl out and make your bed, at least you got one thing accomplished that you needed to get accomplished for that day. Make your bed. But then just look at what you got. Look at what you got to get in order. And then just make a list and start at the top and get that one in order, and then get that one in order, and then get that one in order, and take it apart one piece at a time And the next thing you know, you will establish in yourself an orderly manner, and you'll have the blessing of God. When you read the Old Testament, when the Queen of Sheba saw the order in Solomon's court, the clothes that they wore and how beautiful they were, she fainted and her breath was no longer in her. Right out of God's holy word, because of the order that Solomon had in his court. You can say, I just live out in the country. I don't have to have that. You don't have to have order. But the more order you have, the more anointing you can carry, because God comes to order. Keep reading. Verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. In him. He's in you. You walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in him. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, calls us a building, calls us a field, calls us a temple. He calls us all three things. And you're being built up as a building. We all know we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are a field that God's working in. Verse 8. Look at what it says again. Beware lest anyone cheat you. All right? So let's go back up here to verse number 4. It says, lest anyone deceive you. Paul is talking about deceivers and cheaters. Why is he telling them this? Because when the truth comes to you, the enemy is going to send the counterfeit that looks like the truth, smells like the truth, might even sound like the truth, but it ain't the truth. It's not an actual verse to find in this book. Verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you. Philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ, the anointed one. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. This is Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Thank you, Sunday. Appreciate your help over there, you and Roger. You guys do a good job. Colossians 2, 4 through 10. Let's read it again, 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. Let it sink in. In Jesus, Christ the anointed one and his anointing, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you and I are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Now, let's read it again. Ephesians chapter 4. No. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read 19 to 23. Ephesians 1, 19 to 23. What are we talking about? Being one with the Father. Jesus, as we taught in our opening lesson about one with the Father, Jesus said to the disciples the last night in the room where they were having the Passover supper, he said, I and the Father will come to you, and we'll bring the Holy Spirit, and we will make our abode within you. Not in heaven, on this earth. We get to be one with the Father by the Holy Spirit, and the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. All of these are verses of Scripture that you and I preach and teach all the time here, because we're not going to be deceived by empty philosophy and vain deceit of man. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people in this world who's going to tell you, you don't have to be worried about being filled with the Spirit and everything. You can't even come to Jesus unless you got the Spirit. That's true. It's a true verse of Scripture. But Jesus told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Sunday. That other reference was Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Here we go. I'm now in Ephesians 1:19. Watch this. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Now, there you go. You guys got it. You got them both. Thank you. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that one to come. That means there's no name on this earth that can be named that is greater than the name of Jesus. There is no name on this earth, don't care if it's AIDS or cancer or you name something, leprosy, it don't matter. There ain't no human name that is greater than the name of Jesus. Verse 21, far above all principality. That means you and I have dominion over every principality. Far above might. Far above dominion. Far above every name that is named. So for someone to say that poverty is of God, Jesus' name is above that name. Because there's nothing holy about poverty. Nothing. It is not of God. God's promise to his children is, I will bless absolutely everything you put your hand to. That is his promise to us. Let's keep reading. Not only in this age, but also in the age to come. I'm in Ephesians 1:22. Watch this. He, God, put all things under his, Jesus, feet. All things. And gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church. Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. You and I are the body of the Christ on the earth. Look at what this verse says. The fullness of him who fills all in all. You and I are to be the example of fullness of God. You and I are to be the example of the fullness of God. That's why what Brother Dan was just saying about going after the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in a fast, It literally is, it's probably one of the greatest things that you can pass for. Because if you have the righteousness that Jesus gave us, there will be no hesitation to reach your hand out, because you will know, I am the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. And you might be like, Pastor, you're a heretic. I'm not a heretic. Read the Bible. Watch. Let's go back. Get your bookmark and hold your place. Colossians chapter 2, let's go back and read it. Verse 9. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You and I are the bodily of Christ. In him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, and you are complete in him. You are the body of Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. You and I on this earth, right here, right now, today. And we can't hesitate to be excited about it. We're not Jesus, the Christ. He's our elder brother, but it don't make a difference. I have two younger brothers, my brother Joseph and my brother Andrew. But anything that my dad or mom would leave to us, we're joint heirs. And we have access to it. And Romans chapter 8 tells us that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. That means whatever Jesus has, we have access to it. You're not the Christ. You will never be the Christ. I will never be the Christ. But all the blessings of God are yours. All of them. And the first one is that the Father wants to be one with you like he was Jesus. He wants you to have that perfect relationship with him. Perfect. Now, let's do this. I have so many verses in my mind right now. Oh, my. Let's go to Peter. Second Peter 1, 2 through 4. Now watch this. The church has said cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, that's a very true statement. That's not a verse of scripture. It's not wrong. But that's not a verse of scripture. What is the purpose of why I'm saying these things tonight? Because religiosity and religionism and the spirit of religion has handed us many doctrines and said, believe this. But it was the doctrine of a demon preached from the pulpit of the church right here in the United States of America. And you might say, well, Pastor, that's a pretty bold statement. Yes. Every time they said, we're all just sinners, saved by grace, but we're all just sinners. I'm a sinner as a pastor. You're a sinner as a pastor. We're saved by grace, but we're still sinners. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And that is a doctrine that should never be taught from the pulpit ever. It's a lie. You are either a sinner or you're saved by grace. You can't be both. You're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. I love Brother Jesse's statement. You're still fighting the battle with sin? Well, get saved. Get saved. Look, I'm already saved. Well, then why are you fighting sin? If you've been born again and received the nature of our God, you are a new creation. You are no longer what you were. That means you're either saved or a sinner. You can't be both at the same time. It is a erroneous, false doctrine preached in pulpits all over this whole world. There are whole denominations that is one of their most important messages that they teach. And it's made Christians, people who call themselves Christians, but still go sin and sin wicked gross sins and have the danger that they are probably not going to make heaven, because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Wait a minute. I'm teaching the word of God, not out of anger. I've not mentioned anybody's names, but here's what I started with is the Holy Spirit started us with. It's two verses on deceit, and we're getting ready to read another one right here. Now watch. This is 2 Peter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you so that you can still sin. See, it doesn't work. That doctrine doesn't work. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, who was the sinless example as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Don't turn there. Let me refer to it. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. What is the devil's number one oppression? Sin. You got to get the sin out. You can't get the sin out in your own strength. You got to have the righteousness of God. Why are we here, Pastor? Because if we keep believing erroneous doctrines, we're going to be standing here. No, I'm not. People who believe erroneous doctrines and don't press in to get the greatest understanding God can give them will be standing here when the rapture happens and be like, oh, my Lord Jesus, I just missed the rapture. And you do not want that to happen. I'm not preaching hellfire and brimstone. I'm teaching you, look at what this says. You and I are the fullness of the Godhead bodily on this earth. How could the fullness of the Godhead bodily have sin? It can't. Paul said it. Do you not know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Those men in the Old Testament carried profane fire into the temple and were killed immediately. Immediately. This is the day of grace. Not everybody that teaches these doctrines are teaching it on purpose, that they, because of deception, they want to deceive. Many of them don't know. They're just teaching what Brother so-and-so taught us 150 years ago. Open up this Bible. I'm laying it out right in front of you right now tonight. Watch this. 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Put your hands up right now and just say, I receive your grace and peace multiplied. For by grace Are you saved through faith? You are saved. That means you're no longer a sinner. Keep reading. As his divine power has given to us all things, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Two parts. The Holy Spirit, his divine power, has given unto us. He didn't earn it. It wasn't labor. He's given unto us all things that pertain to life and all things that pertain to godliness. So life is your daily provision, which is breath. In him we live and move and have our very being. You got your breath, you got your health, you got your strength, you got your peace, that all of the things, your provision. Give us this day our daily bread. You got all of that. The things that pertain to life, that you live right here in your house, a pillow and a food in your refrigerator, whatever. He's given us all things that pertain to life and the conjunction, all things that pertain to godliness. Two forces, two parts. He's given them both to us. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these exceedingly great and precious promises, we may be partakers of the divine nature. You cannot lay this out any more simple, folks. I've already proven it to you by three witnesses, and I'm getting ready to show you five. We are the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form on this earth, and we are complete in him. Watch. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world from lust. Verse 16. Second Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. Pastor, you really think that there's people that are cunningly devising these fables? Yes, I do. I've met them. I sat across the desk from a pastor one time and he said, I'm not called to preach. I'm like, what? He said, I'm not called to preach. I'm like, you're not? He goes, No, I was about 20 years old and I was digging ditching, man. I'm like, I don't want to have calluses on my hands like this. It's just hard work. Said, so I just looked around to see what a good education would get me. And he said, I found out in this denomination, I'll make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year. And all I got to do is preach one message. So I just went to seminary. I'm not called to do this. The man, I'm in his office in his church. And he said, all I got to do is preach on Sunday morning over the board. I make 50 grand. It's the greatest life there is. I go play golf every day. That wasn't last year. That was 1995. And he was the pastor of that church who voted to take altar calls out. They voted. They took them out. And voted to take the songs about the blood out. They took them out. You're not called of God. Cunningly devised fables destroyed a good church. I watched it with these eyes, myself, my own personal experience. Not telling somebody else a story. Peter said, we do not follow cunningly devised fable when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his glory. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. See, the reason why I'm being so specific on this is Holy Spirit is leading me. We have got to get this false doctrine out of our thinking and our understanding and walk in the power and anointing and the strength of Almighty God that's in our lives. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, that he is capitalized, as Jesus is, so are we in this world right now today. He's the head of the church. We are his body. I can tell somebody just said, man, Pastor, I'm living way below what I'm supposed to be living right now. Yes, you are. But half the body of Christ is. Yeah. There's another doctrine in the church that we cannot live by. It says, once you get born again, that's all that's important. Excuse me. That is just the first step. Step one. Once you're born again, you've taken the first step to get to heaven. From then on, you must become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Look at this. 1 John 4, 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Well, who's the them? The Antichrist. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Since he is in you, you don't have to work to become one with him. You just got to go ahead and receive your place in him to as many. John chapter 1. That was 1 John 4, 4 and 4, 17. Sunday, thank you. When you go to John 1, the book of John, chapter 1, Jesus said, to as many as received him, to them who received, he gave the power to become the children of God. Now wait, that's before the cross. It's still true today. See, where God has taken this group of believers this year is we're not Adam and Eve having sinned in the garden. We're not Abraham who got the covenant before the law. We're not Moses who received the law. We're not the children of Israel who are conquering Canaan under Joshua. We're not the wicked children of Israel that said, give us a king or else. We're not even the disciples before the cross. We are post-resurrection, post-infilling body of Christ. That's not a statement. We are the body of the Christ on this earth. Let's look at it again. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We were there before. We're going back again. We've got to take this time to lay out this foundation, because in this foundation is the mighty power of who we are. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And yet, Jesus is sitting in heaven as a man who came to earth and paid the price. And he went back to heaven and is seated in the heavenly places as the perfect example. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. The perfect example of anointed by the Holy Spirit. And I lived successfully in the righteousness of my Father that he gave me. Look at verse 10. And you are complete in him. Who is the head of all principality and power. You and I are in him, and we are complete in him in the grace that we have received. Now, let's look at another verse here. Let's go to, oh, Holy Spirit, bring me that verse. Where was it? I'm having a bad, sorry, the verses. You all right? I think you're doing an excellent job. I don't know. You don't have to worry about anything, Sunday. In my opinion, you don't even have to retract the ones that aren't written exactly right. That's all right by me. Everybody here knows exactly how to find those verses, so you're doing a great job. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. I truly do. 1 John chapter 3. There it is, verse 6. Whoever, 1 John 3, 6. I mean, I'm up a lot of verses Sunday, so I think you're doing an excellent job of keeping up. 1 John 3, 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. Father, in Jesus' name, help our sister to have a better day in Jesus' mighty name. We speak life and life more abundantly to our sister Sunday and all of her family in the mighty name Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, right here, right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Verse 6, 1 John 3, 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Well, Pastor, I'm still sinning. What you're learning is to abide in him. Don't give up. Don't throw up your hands and say, I don't get what Pastor's teaching at all. Just stand in the blood and the righteousness of Jesus every day. Just use those terms. Jesus, I might not get this yet, but don't even say it. Say, I thank you. I have a full revelation of this. I stand in your blood and your righteousness. That's what Pastor told me, and that's what I'm going to do. Watch. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. You might have seen him, but it's the getting to know him. Well, there's only one way to know him, and that's to know the word. That's what this program is about. Every time you come here, I'm going to just put this, whoever's teaching is going to put this word out here and give it to you in about 50, 60 verses. Why? Because it's only this book, it's only the word of God that can make you stand. 7, 1 John 3, 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. every verse I've given us tonight has said, you are full and complete in him. Let no one deceive you. Watch this. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Why? You received it from him. I receive your righteousness, Jesus. Just say it and do it. I receive your righteousness. Verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, who has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he destroyed him. Verse 9, whoever is born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of the seed of God. Pastor, I'm still sinning. I understand. But look at what it says. You've got to get to know him. And God knows whether or not you're chasing sin or sin's chasing you. God knows whether you're chasing God and his presence or you're chasing the world. Now, all I got to do is help you fill your being with the word of God and get this mind renewed to what the Bible actually says, not the deception of man. Let no one deceive you. They're standing in the pulpits of America. They're on TV. They got big buildings. There ain't nothing wrong with a big building or TV. But big don't make them right. When they tell you we all have to sin every day, we're all going to sin every day. That's not what I just read to you. And since you and I are the fullness of the Godhead bodily, how can we be the fullness of the Godhead and still sin? And you won't. It's just the revelation and cleansing this brain, this mind, of all of the words that's been said that goes against what I'm teaching you right now. That's why what Brother Dan said a little earlier, it's so important. I'm a long ways from my verses, but I'm exactly where the Holy Spirit wants me. That's why what you said, Dan, is so important. Thank you for saying it. Thank God we've got the Bible. Think about the people in the Dark Ages. Before King James said, I'm going to put the Bible in the working man's hand, the common man's hand. And he set in order the translation. That's why it's called the King James Version. Thank God for King James and for every man who gave his life since then to see the Bible get into the hands of you and I. Have you noticed? They've never stopped it. And the harder they fought against it, the more it spread all across this earth. Why is that? You can't stop the word of God. The word, Jesus, has been given the name which is above every name. There'll never be a book that sells more copies than the Bible. Ever. Ever. See, we've got to embrace and receive the doctrine. Well, it's not the doctrine, the reality. It's not just a doctrine, it's the reality. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is all-seeing. God is all in all. The enemy is nothing more than an angel that was created on the same day every other archangel was created. He was created the same day Michael and Gabriel was created. That's all he is. And he's crushed and defeated. The moment he raised himself against the Father, he was kicked out of heaven. God the Father didn't have trouble with the enemy. It says, Jesus said, I saw Satan like a streak of lightning fall from heaven. God drop kicked him. The Revelation says there was war in heaven. Satan and the third of the angels with him, and Michael and Gabriel and the other ones. They didn't lose. There was no angel casualties on that day on God's side. No, see, man made the movies and the theories that God and the devil are fighting. Let's see who wins. No, there is no way. God's the creator. Angels are the created. To all of you who believe that Lucifer is Jesus' brother, that is not in the book. That's in somebody else's book. But that's not in the Holy Bible. Ready? Let's grab another verse. Got to find where I'm at here. Yeah, let's do this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You might be saying right now, Pastor, I just don't get this. Watch this. Let me show you this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now let me see where I want to go. Well, let's read 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 18. We're not going to get to all my verses tonight. There's no way, but it's okay. We're walking this thing through one lesson at a time, which is exactly how the Holy Spirit leads us right here in this gathering of believers. We get together. And he gives us a subject, and we dive in, and we go after it, and we teach what he gives us the next night, and teach what he gives us the next night, and teach what he gives us the next night, and on we go. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7 through 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 18. Here we go. If the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, Ten Commandments, they were glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, came down from the mountain, they put a bag over his head because they couldn't handle his face because he'd been standing face to face with God. Verse 8. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Jesus said all of the law and the prophets are fulfilled, are completed in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So the ministry of the Spirit in the New Testament is, we got two commandments, love God and love your neighbor. It's the commandment of love. Verse 9. If the ministry of condemnation had glory, the Ten Commandments, when he came down, had a glory. The ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. Well, what's it mean? Jesus gives us his righteousness. Verse 10. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels it. Another verse, Apostle Paul said, these things were the shadow, and the real thing is coming. Well, when the real thing shows up, you don't worship the shadow. And he was talking about the Sabbath day. Keep reading. Verse 11. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we have great boldness of speech. Why? That the old is gone and the new has come. A better covenant, better promises based in the blood and righteousness of Jesus. Not the blood of bulls and goats. 13. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. Moses had a veil. They put it over his head. 14. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains lifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, say, lift your hands and say, I have turned to you, Lord. Just lift your hands and do it. I have turned to you, Lord. The veil is taken away. The confusion is gone. 17. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, the Word, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed, going from here to here, and moving from glory to glory. Not from failure to maybe I'll reach glory someday. You're moving from this glory to this glory. How? Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I'm out of time. I got to be done. What verse am I going to go to that's done, Jesus? Let's see. Oh, there we go. Matthew chapter 11. This will be my final verse. Watch this. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. No, let me go look. Hold on. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, 25 through 30. Now watch this. Remember, our whole series right now we're talking about is being one with the Father. Watch how this works. So good. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to the babies. Jesus is praying to the Father in front of his disciples. I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them unto the babies. Okay? That will just accept what God does with childlike faith. You don't have to be convinced. Just accept it. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight to do this. Jesus is talking to the Father in front of the people that are there. And he just got done rebuking Chorazin, Bethsaida, Tyre, Sidon, and Capernaum. He just finished rebuking them. Now watch this. He's still talking to the Father. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. As soon as you say, Jesus, I receive you, Jesus wills to receive you. It's all based on your desire and mine. It's based on that. Then Jesus said to those standing there, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Tonight's message to you, tonight's teaching might be, man, Pastor, I'm just not getting it. I want to encourage you. I had a period of time in my life with my pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barclay. He's teaching a doctrine. And I'm like, man, I just don't get it. Well, he wasn't teaching a doctrine. He was just teaching the Word of God and the reality of the Word. And I just was not getting it. I had so much religious indoctrination heaped up in my life. I was not getting it. But this is what I did. I went to God and said, God, I need an answer. And I received by faith a pastor's teaching, and that it goes down in my life. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. I will get this revelation from you. And you know what happened? His yoke was easy. His burden is light. And I got the revelation. I want to come this way. This way is full.
Wow. This smells beautiful.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. This is the first time this has budded since we've been here. And wow, it's fragrant. The minute I walked in the door, I could smell it.
Right.
I wish it would stand up. It's beautiful. But hi, everyone. So glad you're here.
And I love you guys.
Yeah, it's something sticky.
So what does it smell like?
It smells like really strong lilacs, actually.
Really? I thought it smelled like honeysuckle.
Like honeysuckle?
I thought you said electric wires burning.
Well, and you know, that's what I kept smelling when we were doing the prayer program this morning. Something smelled hot to me. But now that it's bloomed, it's beautiful. Wow. Hi, Bubby. Hi. So, hi, everyone. Love you all. I'll be quiet now.
Now, to finish.
Hi, Bubby. Hi.
His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. No matter what you think about this teaching, you might say, Pastor, I just don't get it. You might be one of those that are looking at me saying, this dude is messed up in his thinking. Sorry. You might be somebody that tonight the revelation hits you and you say, wow, I got it. It doesn't matter which one of those you're in. Just keep pressing in to God. Just keep pressing into God. Let's go over here. I want to read this to you. No, that's not the verse, huh? Anyways, there it is. It is here. Acts chapter 17. I want you to see this. In every group of people that we'll ever deal with, from now till Jesus comes, that's what's going to happen. Acts chapter 17, verses 11, 12, and 32 through 34. 11 and 12, 32 through 34. Acts 17, 11 and 12, and 32 through 34. Thank you, Rebecca. Acts 17, 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Thank you. I mean, I don't know how you can look at what I showed you tonight and say that ain't true. Unless you've been so trained by the deceivers or by those that are confused that you actually can't see that I just gave you not two or three witnesses, about eight. Verse 12, many of them believed, and also not a few Greeks, prominent women as well as men. Verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we'll hear you again. Paul departed from among them, and some joined him and believed. No matter what your position and your place is tonight, no matter what it is, whether you're, I don't see it, or wow, I see it, or I'm going to have to hear you again, it's okay. All of those are okay, because faith comes by hearing the word. And then not just hearing, but mixing the faith yourself by what you write on your notepad and the verses that you speak and declare out loud. I'm going to tell you again, and I'm probably going to say it every day this year. There is no way this book is going to come alive until you say in your heart, I will get this understanding, Jesus. I'll get this. Help me see it. And you take personal responsibility for yourself to get these verses off of this page. Pastor, I'm just too busy. Can you imagine standing in front of Jesus on the day you're being judged and you say to him, Jesus, I was just too busy. No, we're not too busy. We're too cluttered. Now, everybody's got to deal with it. Everybody. I have to deal with it. I probably have to deal with it more than you guys do, because as the pastor, as the leader, we must give ourselves to the teaching and the study of God's holy word so we can go to the next level. So everybody from now till Jesus comes is going to have to deal with the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire of the things, and the largest of them all is the cares of the world. You can't get away. You got to eat food. You got to have a place to lay your head. You got to be able to have money and have a job. It's the cares of the world. So know this. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. These verses taught us tonight drew a line in the sand. But remember, God can see if you're chasing him. Remember, Jesus was 12 years old when we saw him in the temple teaching. And we didn't see him until he was 30. And there's 18 years that he grew in wisdom and knowledge and the favor of the Lord. Jesus the Christ as a man on this earth. The Apostle Paul was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied over, and of his own statement in Galatians, he was 17 years in training. Do I feel like you and I are going to have to go 17 years? No. The disciples were 3.5 years of training because they had Jesus as the trainer. And he trained them night and day for 3.5 years. It don't matter. It don't matter how old you are. I'm 59, about ready to turn 60. 2 more days, I'll be 60 years old. Hard to believe. Halfway through life. Watch this. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We must give ourselves completely to the study of this word so that faith can come by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And he does. Take my yoke. That means Jesus is on this side pulling. You're on this side learning how to pull. And since the Father's in us, you're going to be like, no, don't do that. No, don't do that. Okay. Do it this way. Oh, I see it. And that will be every day from now till Jesus comes. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. Just don't resist the Holy Spirit severing the ties with religious indoctrinations that have kept us bound to weakness and failure and sin. Let him separate you unto himself. Let him separate you unto himself. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. And right there in that set of verses that we're reading, he said, Father, I thank you that you hid this from the high and lofty ones and put it in the hands of those who are just simply receiving. How do you know you're chasing God? It's a good question, Roger. You give yourself daily to the understanding of the Word of God. You give yourself daily to the understanding of the Word of God. Wake up and say, Father, I'm walking with you today. You talk to him all day long about everything that's going on. You make your life focused on him, his presence, and his word. You don't have to carry your Bible everywhere you go and just be like this all day long, but it's okay if you do. The idea is you make your mind, your heart, everything about you. Father, show me the truth about that, and he will. Show me the truth about that, and he will. Show me the truth about that, and he will. You can ask him how to put your tires on your car. He'll show you if you listen, if you listen. Because he's the one that created it all. He's the one that created it all. That's why all this technology doesn't freak me out. I wasn't trained in any of this. I never had a class for any of this. My class is click, 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 click. I have the greatest creator of all the world in here. He will help me see how to short circuit what's in front of me and get this work done. And he's done. And we give him the glory in Jesus' mighty name. You know you're chasing God, the desire of our heart to be like him. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change. You've always been holy. You've always been righteous. You've always had all the power. And even though you gave man the opportunity to prove himself to you, this have this beautiful earth, and he failed. You sent Jesus here, and he won't ever fail. Because he lived on this earth. He was obedient to the point of death so that he could become the greatest sacrifice ever lived. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, that he lives in us. And he gave us all of himself. All of himself. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. And amen and amen. Brother John, did you find that verse, John? Let me dig that up real quick. I want that in here. John asked that question. I think that's 2 Chronicles 16. Look at that. I wanted to put that reference in that John asked the question about and flip my Bible back, and there it was. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the angels. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the earth, seeking whom he may show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Now, it's time for communion. We receive communion every night by the instruction of the Holy Spirit. When he started talking to me about this being a ministry, I'm like, well, I don't have an agenda, so you're going to have to tell me what to do because I don't have an agenda. I just came here to study the word with my friends during the COVID thing. And when we first began, we took communion every night because the program would be 3-4 hours long. And so we took it at the beginning for those who couldn't stay up that late, and we took it at the end for those who joined us on the West Coast or around the world. And that's awesome. I've never received communion twice in one service in my whole life. But it was the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and we did it. And so now, every service, every time we come together, we receive the Holy Communion elements. So go to your kitchen, get some bread, some grape juice, some water, whatever you got, and come join us. Now, here's how we're going to do this. We're going to read the verses, and then we're going to pray the prayer of salvation so everyone that's with us is right, give you 2 minutes of instruction, bless the elements, and receive it. Now, Brother Dan, Sister Phyllis, Sister Rebecca, when you guys want to read? Matter of fact, I need one of you to read. Does it matter who it is? I know Sister Phyllis has always got her Bible closed. Is that you, Phyllis? Sometimes Phyllis has a house full of fun and excitement. All right. Well, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love, God's perfect love, has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear. Isn't that awesome? And the torment, the trauma that goes with it. Why? Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. That's awesome. And there is no fear in the communion elements. No. Many people have said, can't receive communion if you've sinned this week. Guys, Jesus' body was broken for our sin. His blood was shed for our sin. If you've sinned, the exact process you need is communion. Run from it. Run to it. Now, most interesting statement, truth about what I just said, is there's a whole bunch of people that teach in church every day, every week. If you sin, don't take communion. That is, they've given heed to a deceiving spirit. And they taught people to be afraid of these beautiful elements, which are the very answer to come to God. You don't run from his broken body and his blood shed. You run to it. You don't run from his presence, you run to it. It is a spirit of religiosity that taught that. That's why he's had me stay in this place we're in for communion for so long, because it continually writes that wrong. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, now's the opportunity. If you've never prayed the prayer of salvation, if you've never prayed the prayer, if you've never, all those statements that people make. What is this? You must be born again, which means you've got to say, Jesus, I receive you. Come into my life. And we're going to lead you in that right now. You ready? All my Zoomers, pray with me, if you will. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know.
And according to John 3:16. When I believe in you, you give me everlasting life. And I will not perish. Now, here's where we make our bold statement. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your hands out and just say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I
understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, all of us say, welcome to the family of God. Go ahead.
Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you, Rebecca. We welcome you. I know somebody's saying right now, Pastor, this is just goes against everything I've been trained. I know. But what I just did was introduce you to Jesus, God Almighty, and he now lives on the inside of you, and you are experiencing it in the inside of your being.
Hallelujah.
Why? I didn't give you a denomination. I didn't give you an indoctrination. I didn't hand you my book and say this. No. I read to you the Word of God, and I showed you who you are in Christ when you walk with him. So, how do I do this, Pastor? It's real simple. Number one, you got to get a Bible. All right? I recommend the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I like it because it's so filled with aids to study verse after verse. So you can go from this verse to that verse to that verse. I used it tonight right while I was speaking. I said, go to this verse. And right off here on the side was another verse that is the same meaning. And I just like, wow, look at that verse. And I went right over there and grabbed it, and I put it in here. And it was exactly the verse we needed to have next. Happens all the time. Why? Because it's right here on the side of the page. Not somebody's explanation, just the reference. So you can go there and find the exact same thing said in a different place in the Bible. I want you to get a Bible. Then number two, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And every time Jesus said, my Father, our Father, or the Father, circle it. Yeah, with your pen, circle in your Bible. Why? Because you will learn the doctrine. You will learn the understanding of what Jesus was showing us the Father. That's why he came here, is to show us who the Father actually is. And then destroy the work of the devil. He didn't have any trouble destroying the work of the devil. His bigger challenge is that you and I will learn who the Father is. And so then, every morning when you wake up and you're laying there in the bed, just say, Father, help me walk with you today. And then talk to him all day long. The Father. You don't have to talk to your angels. They're sent by him to take care of you. They might talk to you. You need to talk to the Father all day long. And ask him to give you revelation and understanding of who God is. And he'll give it to you. And then the greatest thing you can do is click like, subscribe, and hit the bell and come be with us. Every night, we're going to teach you the Word of God. Every day, we're going to pray for the United States of America and our brothers and sisters around the world. Every day, we're going to give you the Read the Word so that you can read the Word and read through the Bible in 1 year. All right? Now, it doesn't matter what I'm teaching you. The Holy Spirit will illuminate your mind and your heart by his word. When you come, I have some very good videos that you should study in the beginning of your Christian life. Anybody can study them. They're good rehearsal videos to go back and study again. Now, all of that is available to you free of charge. There's no charge. There's no excuse. It's available. You get to know the ways of God. And just come and be a part of us. We'll learn more by just being here with us. And the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. And the Word of God coming from us. And the next thing you know, you'll be like, I have grown in God so much. I say that just sitting here. Just sitting here. I've grown in God so much.
Amen.
And the revelation comes to you. Welcome to the family of God. Get you some grape juice and get you some bread and water or a cracker. I got a little cracker because bread's hard to chew and then talk. But this little oyster cracker thing, it dissolves pretty quickly, and I don't have to spit crackers on it while I'm trying to lead you. Ready? God is real, guys. God is real. And we're going to sanctify what you have in your hand, and that's what makes it really real.
Oyster cracker thing.
Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my
you were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ, in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
All the way around the world to Julian and Bamala.
All the way around the world to Julian and Bamala.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the body of Christ.
Thank you, Lord. That you endured the cross, despising the shame, and are sat down at the right hand of the majesty, and you called it all joy. Here we go. Lift up the cup of blessing. Let's speak these verses about the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with the Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away, and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away, and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
Thank you for it,
Lord. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
And the accuser of the brethren has no authority over me.
And the accuser of the brethren has no authority over me.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is heard.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
When you come for me in Jesus' name.
When you come for me in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Glory be
to
God.
Hallelujah.
Ready? Let's sing our song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, you might be new to this tonight and say, my goodness, you guys just did a marathon. Well, yeah, we did. But we kind of do this every night. I would encourage you to come and be a part of what we're doing. Now, go to this YouTube video. If the message ministered to you, go to it. At about 35, 40 minutes into it, somewhere in there, there'll be the beginning of the message. All of the rest of it is the assignment of God for us to get accomplished while we come together. And so we kind of just do it all in one setting. And the message was about an hour long tonight. Is that right? Hour and a half? Hour? 8:30, 9:30? Yeah, it was about an hour long. So when you find the message beginning, put a timestamp in there. Look at, you hit pause, see what the time says on the video line, put it down in the comment and make a statement. What's that going to do for you? The next time you come back, you'll be able to click right there on that spot and go right to the beginning of the message. And not only help you, it'll help somebody else. What does that do? Anytime there's a very important point that we make and you're like, wow. Anytime you're listening to anybody's message and you're like, wow. Stop the video then and put a timestamp in on YouTube. That can only happen on YouTube. Why? Because somebody else is going to do the same thing. And it makes that video so much more effective. And you can put a short in. You honestly can. You can put a short in from our messages.
Good night, Sunday. Love you.
Good night, Sunday. We love you. Brother Roger, Brother John. And I encourage you to do this. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. There's some of these messages my pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barkley, preached. I listened to them 50 or 100 times. Pastor, are you really that stupid? No, I just had that much religiosity in my life. It's not about stupid. It's about religion. Because the only thing that is more powerful than the word of God is the religious indoctrinations of men.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, you take as the doctrines of man, as doctrines, what man teaches rather than to hear the word of God. So it took me a while, but I made it. You ready? Sister Phyllis, you got the closing verses tonight?
Is she bunking bikers tonight?
I don't know. Must be. All right. Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, like we just prayed, God gives you another whole language to communicate with Him, and it's amazing. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Turn the page. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Who are they? To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, our God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Put your hands up and say, Father, we receive everyone.
Father, we receive everyone.
Who heard this message tonight.
Who heard this message tonight.
Whether live right now.
Whether live right now.
Or in the future.
Or in the future.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
And know Him.
And know Him.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus.
Your hands up this way and say, I receive the hundredfold.
I receive the hundredfold.
That you, Jesus, have for me.
That you, Jesus, have for me.
Because I gave my life willingly tonight.
Because I gave my life willingly tonight.
Help us preach this gospel right now.
Help us preach this gospel. Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
Till we see you again, this is what we say.
We love you.
We love you. And God loves you.
And
Jesus is
Lord.
See you soon. Brother Dan, Sister Phyllis, you got anything else you guys are going to say?